this is Ahuka. Welcome to the latest in our series called Freedom is Not Free. And this is a series in which I've been talking about how we can support free software in various ways. And one of the things I want to talk about now is I want to talk about the topic of documentation. Now, this is another area where all of us can be very helpful to the free software movement. Right? Every project needs documentation, and they need documentation in a variety of ways. So, you know, how are we going to deal with all of this? Now, I happen to be a project manager in my day job, and documentation is really important. A lot of the projects that I work on involve software or IT systems, things like that. And documenting what's going on is always very important. So I have written documentation. I have also encountered resistance on creating documentation. You know, documentation is one of those things that everyone agrees in the abstract. It's a good thing, but no one wants to actually take the time to do it. So I can't tell you how many times where I'm at work and I say, you know, we really need to spend some time documenting the system. And it's, no, I can't do that. I'm just way too busy. You know, I'm putting out fires everywhere. I can't take the time to sit down and write documentation. And so what usually happens, in fact, this literally happened at work where this fellow who just could never find any time to do documentation suddenly got very ill and shortly thereafter died. And so all of the stuff, all the documentation he never got around to writing, well, you know, people had to figure out how to deal with all of that when he wasn't around to ask questions. It's not a good thing. Now, in terms of the free software community, you know, if I can't get people to write documentation when they're on the payroll, you know, it's even harder in the free software world. At least that's my experience of it. You know, I use, as I've mentioned, I use a KDE distribution. Kubuntu is my favorite distribution. And you know, in KDE, you know, you're working on an application and you go to the help menu and you say, yeah, I want to take a look at the help system. And I can't tell you how many times then I've clicked on that and I get a message back that says, no, there is no help here. we don't have any help. And, you know, that's unfortunate, but that's really the way it is. Well, if that's the case, you know, how are we going to deal with that? I really think we need to have better documentation, better help material. And so what I want to do is not just encourage people to do it, but give you some ideas about how to do it, how to think about it, etc. So the first thing is that there's actually two kinds of documentation. All right, there is technical documentation and there's end user documentation. And knowing which is a really good thing. So with technical documentation, what we're, you know, talking about, this is what the coders would do for each other, all right? And that's a good thing, all right? If you've coded, if you've written a bunch of code that someone else is at some point going to have to take over and manage, you know, it's a real good thing if you've got some kind of documentation, but that might actually even be in the code. It might be a matter of placing comments in the code that you write that is going to explain how all of that works. That's not the kind of documentation I'm talking about here that I want to talk about for the rest of this podcast. I want to focus on the end user documentation. Now, end user documentation is something that, you know, is for the end user. It is for someone who is not necessarily technical. I realize, you know, there are, the average technical level of the free software user is probably a little higher, but I don't think that we are interested in saying that free software is only for the propeller heads out there, because that'll be a very small audience. And I'd like to see free software go further and be applied to larger numbers of people. But to do that, we got to give them a little bit of help. Now, when you're taking a look at this kind of documentation, one of the big problems you have is that nobody wants to do it. It's not the sexy part of it. It's not the fun part. Developers like writing code. They're good at writing code, generally speaking. And they really don't want to do documentation. A lot of these people are volunteers. All right, you can't force them to do documentation. Even if they think in the abstract it'd be nice if it existed, that doesn't mean they think it's their job to do it. And if we're talking about end-user documentation, I think that's a different skill set. I really don't think that developers actually are very good at it on average. There may be some exceptions, but it's not the sort of thing that it strikes me that a developer is naturally going to be good at. So, with end-user documentation, if you do have that skill set, if you do have the ability to explain things to people, in my case, previous career, I spent some time in the classroom teaching and got to develop some skills that way. So, if you have that kind of skill set, if you can write something that is clear, transparent, and helpful, this is a great way to make a contribution. Now, I got to warn you, it can be frustrating because you're dealing with people who, by and large, don't understand or just don't want to take the time to get involved. Now, let me tell you a story about one. And it doesn't matter what the application was, but I said, I'd like to help. I've written good documentation before. I think I could help you with this. Let me help you with some documentation. And they said, oh, that's wonderful. We really need people to do that. So I said, what kind of stuff do you have now? Do you have any technical documentation or what do you, well, the answer was, well, we don't have anything. That's what we want you to do. And so, okay, where's my starting point here? Am I supposed to go off somewhere and woodshed figuring out how this software works for 6 months so that I'm finally in a position to write something? When I do this at work, when I write documentation, what I do is I make the technical people sit down with me and answer my questions and so forth. So, the bargain is I won't make you do the writing, I'll do the writing, but you gotta talk to me. And I think you need to do that to do good documentation. Okay? Now, the technical documentation can get you started. If you've got a good feeling for the technology involved, you can read that, you can figure out a lot. But if you're gonna do good end-user documentation, you need to go way beyond that. And you may be talking to people on the project that just don't quite understand this. I can't tell. There are so many people on these projects that have this idea that, we put up a wiki. And it's like, okay, that's going to work for some people, but it's not good end-user documentation. I think wikis tend to be vastly overused. Oh, we've put up a FAQ. Okay, that's better than nothing, but that's not really good documentation. So, the end result of all of this is if you're going to do good documentation, you may have to actually spend some time talking to the people on the project and explaining to them just what that means. That good documentation is a group effort. Well, nothing surprising about that. I've been saying all along that everything we do in free software is a group or community effort. So how would you go about doing this? I think you need to change your mindset just a little bit. End users, let's assume we're talking about people who, by and large, are not technical. So what I like to do is I like to do stories. Now, if you haven't been exposed to this concept. It's something that agile developers tend to do this pretty well, and you're going to find it in a few other places. But the idea of stories is you start inventing a person, a user, and saying, you know, what do we know about this person who we think is going to be using our software? So, for instance, I might say, hey, this is this software I want my mother to use. All right, let's say it's an email application. And my mother's getting up in years. She isn't terribly technical, but she's noticed that her kids are all communicating via email and sharing pictures via email, and she's feeling kind of left out. So we want to get her involved. And then you say, okay, how would I explain this to my mother then? And the answer is not to say, hey, there's a wiki here, Mom, go figure it out. It just doesn't work. So I've got this image of this person in my mind, and I'm going to start thinking, okay, what does she need to, you know, first of all, she's going to have to configure the software. Oh, that's going to be tough. You know, now I'm not going to explain about IMAP and POP3 and SMTP to my mother. You know, maybe I don't need to. You know, maybe this is one of those things where I end up just doing it myself. But for the standpoint of documentation, how are we going to set this up? Now, maybe it's going to lead you through that pretty well. You know, when you install the software, it's going to take you through the configuration part. But you really need to start thinking, how do I explain that? And then, you know, once you've got it in there and it's configured, do you want to have folders? How are we going to set that up? We have to start explaining folders. Do you want to have filters that route things to folders? Well, we got to start explaining that. And when you start explaining it, you're going to want to use screenshots. I think with end user documentation, it is not possible to have too many screenshots. It just makes a bit, you know, if you can say to people, when you open the application, here's what it looks like. And, you know, take a screenshot, bring it into a graphics program, find a way to draw a box around it in, you know, bold red, so that it's real obvious what it is you're pointing to, and you say, and this is where you click, and so on. So, you know, that's the idea of telling a story. Now, maybe another one is, this software, I'd want to use it in the classroom. So, the person I want to be writing my documentation for is a teacher. Now, I have to tell you, there are a lot of K-12 teachers out there that are not very technical. So again, you want to write this in such a way that it's going to be intelligible to people like that. And again, screenshots, just, you know, be as clear as you can. Take nothing for granted. All right. Another thing, if you're doing the documentation, test it. Right? So if you were writing something for Mom, ask Mom to read it and say, Mom, does this make sense to you? Could you do that? You know, this is a variation on the sort of testing that people ought to do for user interface. They don't do as often as they should. But, you know, the people who are real experts on user interface testing say what you want to do is you want to put someone in front of the computer, give them a task to do, and then don't offer them any help at all and see if they can figure it out. That's a good test of whether your user interface actually makes any sense or not. But in terms of documentation, I would say give the documentation to someone who matches that story. You know, if it's something for a classroom, you know, find a K-12 teacher and say, hey, would you take a look at this? You know, back when I was developing websites, I was very concerned about accessibility. So I asked a friend of mine who was blind to say, would you check this site out? Can you navigate this site? I mean, that was one of my best tests. If it's supposed to be accessible to blind people, get a blind person to look at it. So in terms of documentation, get some testing, okay? The next thing you'd want to think about, these are the kinds of things that we often take for granted, but let's be explicit about it. What's the purpose of this software? Why would I use it? Very often, people are just not clear about this. I remember some years ago, I was teaching office productivity software at a local college. And one of the things that I focused on, we're talking about word processing and spreadsheets and, stuff like that, your standard office productivity software. And I used to say the single most misused application in all of personal computing is the word processor. And it's misused because nobody has ever taught you to think about it the way you ought to. No one has ever taught you to use a word processor the way you should use it to get all of its power. And I could say the same thing about spreadsheets and so forth. Understanding what is it that you want to be doing? How should I be thinking about this piece of software? That's a real good question to have. What are the things that I want to accomplish? Okay, I mean, this becomes part of the story that you tell, when you're picturing a typical user and figuring out what their needs are. Part of that is to say, well, what are the specific things they want to accomplish? Right? If I know that mom wants to see pictures of her grandchildren, what do I need to do to help her to see the pictures of the grandchildren? And the easier I can make that, the better it's going to be. Is this software that I'm going to use on a daily basis or infrequently? You can develop familiarity with a piece of software if you use it every day. If you just use it once in a while, it's kind of a different thing. Is this software that I would use alone, or would I use it in combination with other software? It's another really good question to be thinking about. And if you're going to be using it in combination with other software, then you might want to spend a little time talking about that process. So if my email client is not going to, well, let's say the email client is displaying the pictures perfectly well, but mom wants to save them to her hard drive and, maybe put them into a slideshow or something. I better start thinking about that. Now, these are just a few of the questions. And we could go into this. People have written books about this, and obviously we don't have that kind of time. But I think this is something you can look at and if you have that right kind of mindset, that you can put yourself in the shoes of someone who doesn't know a lot about computers and say, what kind of questions would they have? If you can write something that is clear and understandable and you know how to grab the screenshots and all of that, then this is something you can look at. And it's an invaluable contribution to free software if you can do that. Now, one last thing I want to talk about with documentation. And that is the fact that a lot of the software that we deal with, we really need to be thinking internationally, all right? I think free software is a very international project, and so there's people all over the world involved in this. And that means that the documentation may need to go into a whole variety of different languages. So translating documentation is really important. And I realize, yes, they've made wonderful strides in computerized translation. And, if you take a look at it, it's just not good enough. There's nothing that compares to having someone who understands the language of the documentation and the language that they want to put it into. So, every time I was just reading the other day about all these desktops in Extremadura in Spain and all of the free software that they want to get into, and it's like, okay, I'm guessing at some point they're going to want someone to translate documentation into Spanish so that, school children in Spain can actually read this and figure out what's going on, and school teachers in Spain can read it and figure out what's going on. So that's one of the things that I think you could take a look at. If you happen to, if you are bilingual or trilingual, whatever, you've got several different languages going on, take a look at helping with translation. There's always a need for help there. So I think that covers everything I wanted to say about documentation. So I'm also going to give my pitch that, I think I mentioned on the last one, I am also the publicity director for Ohio Linux Fest, and we are looking for speakers. So if you have anything you would like to say, some topic you think you could do a presentation on, if you go to the ohiolinux.org website, and I'm going to put this in the show notes so that you can take a look at what we're looking, and we're looking for a wide variety. We want all varieties of skill and experience level. So we want stuff for beginners, we want intermediate, we want stuff for advanced, we want stuff for sysadmins, and we want to cover just about anything involving free software, open hardware. So we're pretty broad about it, and we're looking for speakers. So if you can spare a few moments, go check out the website and maybe file a proposal to give a talk. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you at Ohio Linux Fest if you're in the area, Midwest part of the United States. Otherwise, I'm signing off. This is Ahuka. Thank you.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.